Have you ever caught yourself wondering if there's more to the story? Perhaps you've questioned the official narrative of a major event, or felt that powerful forces might be working behind the scenes. If so, you're not alone, and you're not crazy. In Suspicious Minds, psychologist Rob Brotherton takes us on a fascinating journey through the psychology of conspiracy thinking, revealing how our brains are naturally wired to detect patterns, assign intentions, and suspect hidden agendas. The book has garnered praise from cognitive scientists and psychologists alike for its balanced approach that neither mocks conspiracy believers nor endorses their theories. Instead, it explores the universal cognitive tendencies that make conspiracy theories so appealing to the human mind. As Malcolm Gladwell noted, understanding why some people believe conspiracy theories is the first step toward determining how to address the phenomenon. Conspiracy theories are everywhere. From claims that ancient Atlanteans built the pyramids to assertions that Barack Obama was a Kenyan Muslim, these alternative explanations permeate our culture. The stereotype of conspiracy theorists as basement-dwelling men with tinfoil hats simply doesn't match reality. Women are equally conspiracy-minded, education and income make little difference, and even professors and presidents have endorsed conspiracy theories. Far from being fringe beliefs, polls consistently show staggering numbers of people believe in various conspiracies. Half of Americans question the official 9/11 story, a third believe the government hides evidence of aliens, and millions even believe in shape-shifting reptilian overlords. This phenomenon isn't uniquely American, it's global, from Russians doubting the moon landing to Brazilians fearing Amazon invasion. What makes these theories so compelling? Our brains are constantly working behind the scenes, screening and shaping our perceptions without our awareness. In one revealing experiment, Dutch psychologists found that people made to feel ambivalent were more likely to see patterns in random visual noise unless they first tidied a messy desk. The act of creating physical order satisfied their psychological need for structure, reducing their tendency to find imaginary patterns. Similarly, when feeling uncertain, people were more likely to suspect conspiracies in workplace scenarios. Even something as simple as font legibility matters. Conspiracy theories presented in clear fonts were rated more believable than the same theories in hard-to-read fonts. Remarkably, none of these participants realized these subtle factors were influencing their judgments. We tend to think of consciousness as encompassing our entire mental process, but psychological studies reveal it's merely the tip of the iceberg. Like other organs that function autonomously, our brains operate largely behind the scenes, with much of our thinking and decision-making happening outside conscious awareness. Rather than reflecting mental instability, conspiracy thinking resonates with our brain's built-in biases and shortcuts. We're each at the mercy of 100 billion tiny conspirators, our neurons, working behind the scenes. Our consciousness is merely a tiny stowaway on a transatlantic steamship, taking credit for the journey without acknowledging the massive engineering underfoot. We have innately suspicious minds. We are all natural-born conspiracy theorists. Despite widespread belief that we live in an unprecedented era of conspiracy theories, research suggests otherwise. Political scientists Joe Yusinski and Joseph Parent analyzed over a century of letters to the editor in the New York Times, 1890 to 2010, and found no exponential increase in conspiracy talk over time. While conspiracy theories have targeted everyone from presidents to dairy farmers, the overall trend shows remarkable stability. Conspiracy theories are nothing new. After the Great Fire of Rome in 64 CE, rumors immediately blamed Emperor Nero, despite his being 36 miles away when the fire started. Though he quickly organized relief efforts upon return, suspicion persisted, with historians offering increasingly dramatic accounts over time. To deflect blame, Nero created his own conspiracy theory, scapegoating Christians who were then brutally tortured and executed. The modern template for conspiracy theories emerged with the Illuminati panic. In 1776, Adam Weishaupt, a restless, idealistic 24-year-old law professor, founded the Order of the Illuminati. Inspired by Enlightenment ideals, Weishaupt created an elaborate secret society with false names and initiation rites. Though the actual Illuminati disbanded by 1785, its mythic reputation grew, especially after the French Revolution. In 1797, two authors independently published books claiming the Illuminati had orchestrated the revolution as part of a plot to overthrow all governments and religion, laying the foundation for modern conspiracism. Perhaps the most notorious conspiracy theory is the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, a fabricated document purporting to be the minutes of a secret Jewish council plotting world domination. Despite being thoroughly debunked as a plagiarized forgery by 1921, the protocols gained worldwide distribution, becoming second only to the Bible in circulation by 1939. Its vague nature made it infinitely adaptable, a Rosetta Stone of history that could explain any societal ill, from world wars to jazz music. The protocols built upon centuries of anti-Jewish prejudice, transforming medieval religious superstitions into modern political ideology. When Hitler embraced this fabricated conspiracy in Mein Kampf, dismissing claims it was a forgery, he set the stage for the Holocaust, demonstrating how fictional conspiracies can become warrants for genocide. In June 1922, German Foreign Minister Walther Rathenau was assassinated by young men who believed he was an Elder of Zion. After Hitler became Chancellor in 1933, he erected a monument to Rathenau's killers, praising them as advance fighters for the Nazi cause. The Nazis added the protocols to school curriculum, stripped Jews of rights, and Hitler increasingly framed Jews as powerful enemies in an apocalyptic struggle. His 1939 prophecy of Jewish annihilation became self-fulfilling with the Holocaust, which killed 6 million Jews. Beyond the Holocaust, other atrocities have been inspired by imagined conspiracies. Anders Breivik killed 77 people believing in an Islamic plot against Western civilization. Boston Marathon bomber Tamerlan Tsarnaev believed in government conspiracies. Timothy McVeigh bombed the Oklahoma City Federal Building, killing 168 people, including 19 children, partly motivated by conspiracy theories about government raids on gun owners. Conspiracy theories about vaccines have proven particularly dangerous. In 2012, Australian author Stephanie Messenger self-published a children's book called Melanie's Marvelous Measles, which teaches children that vaccines are ineffective and that they shouldn't fear childhood illnesses. The book claims people promoting vaccines have vested interests in selling some potion or vaccine. Ironically, the title seems inspired by Roald Dahl's George's Marvelous Medicine, despite Dahl's own daughter Olivia dying from measles encephalitis in 1962. Dahl later wrote that parents refusing immunization were putting their children's lives at risk. When Britain passed compulsory vaccination laws in the 1850s-60s, organized anti-vaccination movements formed, eventually winning exemptions in 1898, leading to decreased vaccination rates and renewed smallpox outbreaks. Today, similar patterns emerge, with measles outbreaks following decreased MMR vaccination rates due to unfounded autism fears. Conspiracy theories vary in their harmfulness. While some, like believing Elvis lives in Michigan, seem innocuous, they can still have consequences. Research shows that exposure to conspiracy theories can reduce civic engagement. People who watched Oliver Stone's conspiratorial film JFK were less likely to vote or volunteer politically afterward. The real tragedy is that conspiracy theorists' passion and organization could address genuine problems, but instead gets misdirected toward imagined plots rather than documented incompetence or genuine wrongdoing. Everyone seems to recognize conspiracy theories, but defining them precisely is challenging. Dictionary definitions simply describe them as theories about conspiracies, but this fails to capture how the term is actually used. Real conspiracies happen constantly, from bank heists to corporate fraud. Yet not all theories about these plots earn the conspiracy theory label. The term conspiracy theory carries distinctly negative connotations in intellectual circles. Noam Chomsky compared it to a polite version of a four-letter word in faculty clubs. Those labeled conspiracy theorists often reject the term while applying it to others. The key distinction is that conspiracy theories are unproven by design. They describe conspiracies that haven't yet been fully revealed. Conspiracy theories fundamentally assert that appearances deceive us. The 9/11 false flag theory exemplifies this worldview, claiming what appears to be an Al-Qaeda attack was actually orchestrated by the U.S. government against its own citizens. This contrarian perspective rejects official stories as deliberate fabrications designed to hide the truth. At its extreme, this mindset questions everything, transforming universities into purveyors of state-sponsored lies while seeing fictional conspiracies in entertainment as predictive programming for real-world plots. While real conspiracies demonstrate how difficult it is to execute complex plots without mistakes or leaks, conspiracy theories portray perpetrators as nearly omnipotent. The conspiracy supposedly controls all power centers, media, economy, science, elections, and orchestrates every disaster for its own benefit. Yet there's a paradoxical caveat. The conspirators are portrayed as staggeringly competent, except when they make revealing slip-ups that expose their schemes. The conspiracist style portrays villains of extraordinary malevolence. While real conspiracies tend to be limited in scope and often banal, conspiracy theories feature far more sinister and ambitious plots. The conspirators aren't merely self-interested or corrupt. They're comic book villains causing all societal ills and committing unthinkable cruelties. Conspiracy theorists pride themselves on their investigative skills, often possessing intricate knowledge of their subject. They build their cases on anomalies, seemingly odd details that official explanations can't immediately account for. While anomalies can lead to scientific discoveries, the conspiracist style imbues each minor discrepancy with profound significance, using it to undermine entire mainstream narratives without proper context. Perhaps most distinctively, conspiracy theories operate with an unassailable, irrefutable logic, where nothing can disprove the conspiracy, not even contradictory evidence. Each debunking becomes disinformation, while theorists' failure to prove their claims merely demonstrates their enemy's power. Evidence against conspiracy becomes evidence of conspiracy. Heads I win, tails you lose. In the aftermath of tragic events, conspiracy theories emerge almost immediately. After the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting in 2012, while investigators were still piecing together what happened, some already declared it a government false flag operation. Similar patterns followed the 2013 Boston Marathon bombing, with conspiracy theorist Alex Jones tweeting hashtag false flag within an hour. Conspiracy theorists rarely view events as isolated incidents, but instead weave seemingly unconnected tragedies into a single narrative tapestry. Sandy Hook, Columbine, Virginia Tech, and other mass shootings aren't seen as separate events, but as connected false flag operations in a plot to revoke Second Amendment rights. Research consistently shows that belief in one conspiracy theory correlates strongly with belief in others, even when there's no logical connection between them. Americans who believe the government hides aliens at Area 51 are more likely to distrust vaccines. This pattern is so reliable that researchers can predict a person's stance on established conspiracy theories based on their reaction to entirely fabricated ones. Sociologist Ted Goertzel suggests conspiracy theories form a self-perpetuating network of mutually supportive beliefs. Once you accept one, it opens the door to others. Experimental evidence supports this. When researchers presented participants with arguments supporting the theory that Princess Diana's death was an assassination, these people became more receptive to unrelated conspiracy theories about government plots. This self-perpetuating logic doesn't fully explain the curious paradox of contradictory beliefs. Research shows people who believe bin Laden died of natural causes years before the raid are more likely to simultaneously believe he's still alive. The key factor connecting these contradictory beliefs is the general suspicion that authorities are hiding something important. Once you believe official stories can't be trusted, you're open to entertaining any alternative explanation, even contradictory ones. The heart of conspiracism isn't just about specific theories or how they support each other. Rather, it's an overarching worldview, a personality trait that shapes how we interpret events. This conspiracy-mindedness encompasses beliefs that deception is commonplace, events have hidden causes, and authorities withhold crucial information. Richard Hofstadter's provocatively titled The Paranoid Style in American Politics characterized conspiracy thinking as a distorted worldview marked by delusional thinking, excessive suspicion, and conspiratorial fantasy. He described conspiracy theorists as constantly manning the barricades of civilization with apocalyptic urgency, while arguing this mentality afflicted only a modest minority with uncommonly angry minds. Subsequent research has supported parts of Hofstadter's thesis. Studies found that people who believe conspiracy theories tend to be more distrusting, hostile, anxious, and defiant of authority. Additionally, conspiracy theories appear more popular among those feeling powerless or discontented, including racial and ethnic minorities in America. However, Hofstadter's fundamental error was limiting conspiracy thinking to the fringe when it actually thrives in the mainstream, too. America's political establishment has consistently embraced conspiracy theories, from George Washington's belief in the Illuminati to Theodore Roosevelt and Woodrow Wilson's warnings about invisible governments controlling commerce. Opinion polls consistently show that conspiracy theories aren't fringe beliefs. Between 10 to 30% of people believe in theories about 9/11, Princess Diana's death, the moon landing, and vaccine safety. For JFK's assassination, conspiracy theorists represent the majority. When considering belief in any conspiracy theory rather than specific ones, the numbers are even higher. 63% of Americans believe at least one political conspiracy theory, and 50% accept at least one medical conspiracy. The paranoia associated with conspiracy thinking isn't the debilitating pathological kind found in mental illnesses like schizophrenia. Rather, it's the everyday suspicion we all experience. Psychologist Daniel Freeman's research shows nearly everyone experiences such mild paranoid thoughts. Surprisingly, over 3/4 of college students admit to having paranoid thoughts weekly, with a third experiencing them even more frequently. When our sense of control is threatened, we become more paranoid. Psychologists call this compensatory control. When we can't be in control ourselves, we'll settle for thinking someone else is. Having identifiable enemies is preferable to facing random chaos. Unlike faceless randomness, enemies can potentially be understood or thwarted. Paranoia isn't always irrational. In fact, mild paranoia serves as the mind's early warning system, what Roderick Kramer calls prudent paranoia. Being on guard against others' potentially hostile intentions can be an intelligent strategy in an uncertain world. The challenge lies in distinguishing between healthy suspicion and unwarranted perception of sinister intent. Racial minorities in America, particularly African Americans, show higher acceptance of conspiracy theories compared to Caucasians. This isn't surprising given historical context. The Tuskegee study, where researchers observed untreated syphilis in impoverished black men for 40 years, stands as a stark example of historical trauma that creates legitimate distrust. What might seem bizarre conspiracy theories make sense in this historical context. Many historians and scholars have characterized conspiracy theories as simple explanations for complex problems, a way of streamlining messy reality by attributing events to a single hostile force. This view suggests conspiracy theories appeal to those lacking the ability to entertain nuanced explanations. However, when researchers tested this hypothesis, they found no relationship between belief in conspiracy theories and measures of cognitive complexity, tolerance of ambiguity, or need for cognitive closure. In fact, conspiracy theories are often more complicated than conventional explanations, suspending Occam's razor in favor of tangled, baroque explanations with endless layers of unseen forces and hidden motives. Research consistently shows that conspiracy beliefs cluster with other unconventional beliefs. In a comprehensive study, belief in conspiracy theories strongly correlated with acceptance of pseudoscience and supernatural claims. Someone who believes homeopathy can cure serious illness is more likely to believe in psychic powers and the Kennedy assassination conspiracy. This correlation between seemingly unrelated unconventional beliefs isn't coincidental. This phenomenon was identified in the 1970s by sociologist Colin Campbell as the cultic milieu, an intellectual underground where unorthodox ideas flourish and intermingle. This milieu encompasses alternative science, heretical religion, deviant medicine, occult practices, spiritualism, mysticism, alien intelligences, lost civilizations, and more. Despite their diversity, these beliefs share one key trait: rejection by the establishment. Critics like Francis Wien and Jonathan Kay portray conspiracy theorists as enemies of Enlightenment values, but ironically, the cultic milieu embodies core Enlightenment principles. René Descartes began the Enlightenment by rejecting received wisdom and rebuilding understanding from scratch. John Locke advocated using one's own thoughts rather than others' understanding. Immanuel Kant's motto, sapere aude, dare to know, encouraged intellectual autonomy, remarkably similar to conspiracy culture's wake up sheeple. The cultic milieu emerges from the clash between this desire for intellectual autonomy and our increasingly complex world. Unlike Enlightenment thinkers who could reasonably master the knowledge of their time, we now face specialized fields requiring expert interpretation. The cultic milieu offers a way to reclaim autonomy by suggesting we can become experts ourselves by rejecting mainstream narratives. Our susceptibility to unorthodox beliefs stems partly from overestimating our understanding of the world. When psychologist Rebecca Lawson asked people to complete a drawing of a bicycle by adding the missing chain, pedals, and frame, about half made fundamental errors that would render the bike unusable. Before attempting the drawing, participants rated their bicycle knowledge reasonably high. Only after confronting their mistakes did they recognize their ignorance. This illusion of understanding extends beyond bicycles. Yale researchers found people overestimated their understanding of every devices, from can openers to helicopters. We similarly overrate our understanding of natural phenomena like rainbows and earthquakes, legal concepts, and political policies. David Icke, former BBC sports presenter turned conspiracy theorist, claims the world is secretly ruled by interdimensional reptilian aliens called Archons. According to Icke, humanity once lived in a golden age of harmony before these sinister forces began implementing an elaborate control system. Despite this bleak outlook, Icke offers hope. Exposing the Archons' plans to light will break their spell, allowing humanity to reclaim our rightful place in the cosmos as people wake up to the truth. This narrative structure isn't coincidental. It follows one of the oldest and most compelling story patterns in human history. The oldest written story, the Epic of Gilgamesh, follows a hero battling a monstrous evil threatening his kingdom. This same archetypal plot appears in countless stories across cultures and time. Despite our seemingly limitless imagination, scholars argue there are remarkably few fundamental story patterns. Christopher Booker identified just 7 basic plots, including Overcoming the Monster, where a hero confronts a powerful evil threatening a community, discovers its fatal weakness, and vanquishes it to restore peace. We're naturally drawn to underdogs, those facing seemingly insurmountable odds. From David versus Goliath to Harry Potter, underdogs captivate us through their determination against unfair disadvantage. This psychological bias extends beyond fiction. Studies show 3/4 of people instinctively support underdogs in sports. When conspiracy theories cast figures like Andrew Wakefield as heroic underdogs, they tap into our natural affinity for the disadvantaged. The best conspiracy theories feature classic underdog narratives, formidable enemies, Big Pharma, New World Order, with one fatal weakness, exposure. The conspirators threaten all mankind, while theorists selflessly battle for truth. This positioning transforms being wrong into being heroically embattled. Conspiracy theories invite us to join an enlightened but embattled minority, a select few bravely speaking truth to power. Our brains react physically to perceived injustice, activating pain centers when faced with unfairness. We constantly evaluate others' trustworthiness through behavior, expressions, and gossip. Fiction exploits this tendency with morally unambiguous villains who are unmistakably evil. Black hats, metal masks, even names like Dr. Doom. This reflects what Baumeister calls the myth of pure evil. Our tendency to see others' misdeeds as stemming from inherent badness while rationalizing our own as circumstantial. We sort people into good or bad categories, a worldview particularly strong among conspiracy believers. When surveyed, those who agreed that politics is ultimately a struggle between good and evil were more likely to endorse conspiracy theories. The Zapruder film, capturing Kennedy's assassination, contains a curious anomaly. A man holding the only open umbrella in Dallas on that sunny day, positioned right where Kennedy was shot. This umbrella man wasn't questioned by police or mentioned in the Warren Commission report, leading conspiracy theorists to speculate he was signaling assassins or even firing projectiles from the umbrella itself. Visual allusions like the Mueller lyre, where equal lines appear different lengths, and the Kanitsa triangle, where we see shapes that aren't actually there, reveal how our brain constructs rather than passively observes reality. Our vision is essentially a sophisticated guess. We only see a tiny area clearly, while our brain fills in the rest using shortcuts and assumptions. During Mars's Great Opposition of 1877, astronomer Giovanni Schiaparelli observed what appeared to be an intricate network of straight lines crossing the Martian surface. Prominent scientists like Percival Lowell proposed these were irrigation canals built by intelligent beings, sparking widespread Mars mania. The canals proved immune to astrophotography, and different astronomers' drawings showed drastically different arrangements. Eventually, improved observations confirmed these were merely illusions created by the brain finding patterns in ambiguous images. While we readily acknowledge visual illusions, we're less aware of our susceptibility to illusions of thought. Consider how easily we miss the error in "How many animals did Moses take on the ark?" automatically connecting biblical figures without noticing it was Noah, not Moses. Our brain makes sense of nonsense by activating associated ideas beneath conscious awareness. Our brains are wired to detect patterns and find meaning in coincidences, whether significant or trivial. When we spot connections between events, we instinctively seek causal relationships. This pattern detection evolved for survival, but our brains lack built-in quality control to distinguish meaningful patterns from random coincidences. The anti-vaccine movement exemplifies how coincidence transforms into perceived causation. Stephanie Messenger and Barbara Lowe Fisher, prominent anti-vaccine activists, both described traumatic experiences where their children appeared to change dramatically after vaccination. The timing created a powerful illusion of causation that no statistics could shake. The medical community uses the phrase "true, true, and unrelated" to remind themselves not to mistake coincidence for cause. Developmental disorders often become apparent between ages 1 and 2, the same period when children receive many vaccines, but extensive research shows these events are unrelated. When Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 disappeared in March 2014, the absence of facts created fertile ground for conspiracy theories. Within hours, despite no evidence, theories proliferated about military shootdowns, government hijackings, secret cargo, hidden landing sites, hostage situations, and even alien abductions. A CNN poll 2 months later revealed over half of Americans believed the plane was likely hijacked by agents of a hostile government, while nearly 10% suspected aliens or time travelers. We all possess a remarkable superpower, mind reading, not in a psychic sense, but as detectives who instinctively deduce others' thoughts. This theory of mind helps us understand that others have beliefs, desires, and intentions different from our own. Our intention detector bridges the gap between observable actions and invisible thoughts, allowing us to make sense of human behavior. In 1943, psychologists Fritz Heider and Marion Simmel demonstrated just how eager our intention detector is to find meaning. They showed participants a short film of three geometric shapes moving around a rectangle. Almost everyone spontaneously saw characters with personalities and motives: bullies, mothers, witches, lovers. Only one participant described it objectively as shapes moving on a plane. Our intention detector operates on a shoot-first, ask-questions-later policy, what psychologists call the intentionality bias. Children display this clearly, attributing intention to involuntary actions like yawning or sneezing, and even believing natural objects have purpose. According to psychologist Evelyn Rossett, we never fully outgrow this bias. Even as adults, our default assumption is that events are intentional. We only recognize accidents by consciously overriding our intention detector's judgment. Research shows that how we interpret ambiguous situations predicts our susceptibility to conspiracy theories. In studies where participants read sentences like "she kicked the dog" or "the boy popped the balloon," those who favored intentional interpretations over accidental ones were more likely to endorse conspiracy theories. Beyond our hyperactive intention detector, another psychological mechanism makes conspiracy theories appealing: projection. When trying to decipher someone's intentions, we mentally trade places with them and ask, "What would I be thinking?" While projection is an essential tool for understanding others, it creates a false consensus effect, the illusion that most people think like we do. Studies show people who admit they might participate in conspiracies are more likely to believe conspiracy theories exist. Historical examples show conspiracy theorists often mirroring their imagined enemies. The KKK adopted hierarchical structures like the Catholics they feared. Nixon plotted against those he believed were plotting against him. And Hitler used the Protocols of Zion as a template for his own tactics. The Kennedy assassination demonstrates our tendency to see vast conspiracies where simpler explanations might suffice. Though the official story points to Lee Harvey Oswald acting alone, over 80% of Americans have historically suspected conspiracy, with theorists naming 214 individuals and 42 organizations as potential conspirators. Conspiracy theories about Kennedy's assassination range from plausible to far-fetched. Some blame Soviet agents, though KGB defector Yuri Nosenko revealed they found Oswald mediocre and useless. Others point to the CIA, despite Kennedy's actually good relationship with the agency after the Bay of Pigs. The wildest theories place the assassin in Kennedy's own motorcade, from Vice President Johnson to Secret Service agents to even Jackie Kennedy herself, imagined as a trained assassin with a gun in her handbag. The Kennedy assassination has spawned endless conspiracy theories, becoming the subject of two federal investigations of breathtaking scope, numerous smaller investigations, several thousand essays, articles, and books, scores of novels, films, and plays, countless news stories, endless reenactments, debates, and television news specials. In stark contrast, Ronald Reagan's 1981 shooting by John Hinckley Jr. generated virtually no conspiracy theories, despite the president nearly dying. This imbalance stems from a fundamental psychological quirk, the proportionality bias. Since Kennedy died while Reagan survived, the Kennedy assassination feels like a momentous event demanding a correspondingly significant cause. We instinctively want the magnitude of an event to match the magnitude of its cause. Big events must have big causes. Our proportionality bias extends beyond conspiracy theories into everyday thinking. When rolling dice, gamblers instinctively throw harder for high numbers and gentler for low numbers, as if physical force determines the outcome. This bias shapes how we interpret significant life events. Winning the lottery must be karmic reward. Meeting a soulmate must be fate. We resist attributing life-altering events to mere chance. When presented with headlines about presidential assassination attempts, people consistently attribute successful assassinations to conspiracies, while failed attempts get blamed on lone gunmen. This happens even when researchers break the causal connection between assassin competence and outcome. The proportionality bias explains why history's most momentous events spawn the most popular conspiracy theories. Confirmation bias kicks in the moment we form a hypothesis. Rather than evaluating all evidence equally, we employ a positive test strategy, seeking what we expect to find. In the 1960s, psychologist Peter Wasson demonstrated this with his number sequence game, where subjects had to guess a rule, simply any three increasing numbers, by proposing sequences. Most people only tested sequences that fit their initial theory rather than trying to disprove it. Even when confronted with the same evidence, we interpret ambiguous events through the lens of our existing beliefs, what psychologists call biased assimilation. When faced with complex evidence, studies show we carefully scrutinize information contradicting our beliefs while uncritically accepting supporting evidence. Even incontrovertible evidence fails to change firmly held beliefs. Despite Obama releasing his birth certificate and Hawaiian officials confirming his birthplace, birther conspiracy theories persisted. Political scientist Brendan Nyhan calls this the backfire effect. Showing people contradictory facts can actually strengthen their misguided beliefs. Are conspiracy theories more common on the political left or right? Research by Usinski and Parent reveals that both sides are equally conspiracy-minded. The difference isn't in how much they embrace conspiracy thinking, but which conspiracies they prefer. Conservatives suspect liberals, socialists, the Obama administration, and media outlets. Liberals suspect conservatives, corporations, and the Bush administration. At the Bilderberg Fringe Festival, Brotherton meets a born-again Christian who, despite being there, is hesitant to speculate about Bilderberg conspiracies. The man shares his journey from hedonism to faith, describing the gnawing emptiness that drives people to seek answers. Brotherton reflects that we're all searching for meaning, whether through religion, conspiracy theories, or debunking them. The author argues there's no us versus them division. Conspiracy thinking is ubiquitous because it stems from how all human minds work. While some conspiracy theories can have harmful consequences, conspiracy thinking itself isn't necessarily an affliction needing eradication. Our brain's biases and shortcuts exist to help us navigate an uncertain world. They make us imperfectly, brilliantly human. Conspiracy theories aren't so much an unbelievable leap from reality as they are a gentle stroll from prudent paranoia. The stereotype of the tinfoil hat-wearing kook is hollow. We all experience paranoia sometimes, especially when lacking control over our circumstances. Given revelations about FBI spying, military assassination plans, and NSA surveillance capabilities, a little prudent paranoia seems justified. Understanding conspiracism as a psychological disposition explains why theories emerge before official explanations, why believers see interconnected patterns, and why some can simultaneously accept contradictory theories. It's just the beginning of understanding why some people are more conspiracy-minded than others. The uncomfortable reality is that small things can have enormous consequences. Kings can be struck down by peasants. When faced with this incongruity, we instinctively search for explanations that match the magnitude of the outcome. Our pattern-seeking brain is both gift and curse. It enables creative thinking and scientific discovery, but sometimes leads us to connect unrelated dots. As Benjamin Franklin observed, so convenient a thing it is to be a reasonable creature, since it enables us to find or make a reason for everything one has a mind to.